Last night, City of Bloomington Democratic mayoral candidates Amanda Barge and John Hamilton spoke at their second debate of the year. Last night's debate at the Monroe County Public Library was sponsored by Democracy for Monroe County. According to their Facebook page, Democracy for Monroe County is a grassroots political action committee dedicated to supporting progressive policies at the state and local levels. In today's feature report, we'll hear incumbent Mayor John Hamilton and challenger and County Commissioner Amanda Barge speak about housing in Bloomington. The debate is moderated by Democracy for Monroe County's Jada B.
Hi, my name's Ed Bernstein. We talked about aiming higher, and I think this is a literal question, happens to do with growth. I think there are a lot of people, including myself, feel like there's maybe too much growth in the wrong way. And I just would like to hear from both of you, what are the limits of growth? What kind of growth are we talking about? This has been going on since Fernandez was in power. We see these cookie cutter apartment buildings going up everywhere. And as I used to tell my students, we might be throwing the baby out with the bathwater in Bloomington. Thanks.
Thank you. That question plays into something that we, Democracy from Monroe County, had been talking about, which is Bloomington's growing construction, the construction and destruction of public sites, in particular, the hospital is of grave concern to many people in Bloomington, and what will be done with that land, and whether or not there'll be public engagement, and that public engagement will be heard in what is done with that land, and the transparency and the processes of revitalizing areas of Bloomington. So again, framing that question in that thought, as well as thinking about whether we are changing away from a community to a student bedroom.
Thanks, Ed, for the question and for the additions, Jada.
Yeah.
So we just celebrated our bicentennial. 200 years old last year. For 200 years, Bloomington has grown. There was no period in that time when we stopped growing, and we are not going to stop changing and growing. We've had 1,000 people coming to our community voluntarily over the last 10 years per year. The question is, how do we manage that growth? Maybe Bloomington will stop being popular with people. Maybe people won't want to move to Bloomington. Most of you here move to Bloomington at some point. And you were welcomed to Bloomington. And that's a good thing. And we need to keep welcoming people. The question is, how do we grow well? What speed, where, and managing the incredible quality of life that we have? That is a big debate. There's no one of us who has the answer to that. I will say I am proud we were opposed by some of the powerful forces in the city. But 2 years ago, we cut the height in the city downtown that buildings could be built because we saw that the zoning hadn't been changed and it was going to take a while to do. And we said, we got to stop this right now. There were strong forces against it, but with the city council support, we cut the height that buildings could build automatically. That doesn't mean, in my view, that we can't think about height in the right places and density. If we're going to be a sustainable city and climate change is a huge challenge for all of us, we have to figure out how do we live together so that we have less reliance on cars, we have more ability to get to work, get to school, get to doctors, get to healthcare, all that. And I'm committed to that. It's the new comprehensive master plan is really important, adopted by the Plan Commission and the City Council with tons of public input, thinking about where do we want to see that. Let me just mention on the hospital, I'm really proud as a city with the Redevelopment Commission, we purchased those 24 acres, which some people didn't think we should do. We bought them so the public, we can decide what do we want to do with that. There will be very public engagement with that starting later this year. You'll watch for that for the newspaper. It's going to take a few years for the hospital to move, but that's a huge opportunity for us as a city to decide what do we want those 24 acres to look like, and I'm glad we get to do that.
Thank you for the question. That's one of the things I like to tell people when I first thought about running for office several years ago. I was driving around with my daughter when she would nap, and I would get so upset by all the new developments. And I would just like, I've got to run for something. And I got back involved in politics and government, and it's important. And I grew up here, so I've seen how the community changes. And when I listen to people all over this community, everyone has the same sort of question. It's just like, I think there's a lack of a unified vision in terms of how we're growing. And I do believe that the UDO is working. It's an attempt to get us there, but it's a 485-page document. And the idea of the UDO was to make things simpler for folks, for all of us, to be able to understand. And it hasn't done that yet. And we paid a great deal of money to Clarion to do that for us. But if we don't, at the end of the day, meet people where they are and go to people's communities and actually let them know how the UDO will affect their property values and their neighborhoods, we aren't doing the right thing as public officials. And it's really, really important. And that's what we need to be doing. So I do think that there are more public meetings scheduled about the UDO, but quite frankly, most people aren't going to those. It's at City Hall. Most people don't know they're happening, and we need better public engagement. We need more transparency in the process. And I'm going to say just for a moment about the hospital. I hear the same concerns about the hospital site, which is, you know, the Urban Land Institute's first original, what was affordable housing was not considered affordable. Then we sort of have made some changes. There are a lot of residents out there that are concerned that this process is not transparent enough. And we just need to make sure it is. We need to make sure it is, because it's a great opportunity for that area. And we just need to make sure that we're hearing from everyone who lives nearby and how they're going to be affected by that.
Thank you. It will be an extremely transparent process. We've already actually had 500 comments on the UDO, I think. It is complicated, but wide open. Everybody jump in, tell us what you think of it. I do just want to say one thing about buildings themselves. One question I ask people is, name a building built in this city over the last 50 years that you think people will cherish 50 years from now. Part of it is the challenge to make sure we get the quality of buildings that we want, and we can do that together. I don't think we've done well enough with that, but we need to create that seed capital for the future too.
Just again, I think the question is, why do so many people feel left out of the process so often? Every neighborhood I go to, and I feel that as a county commissioner, I feel responsible when people come to me and say, I had no idea there was a public meeting. I didn't know about that. Well, you know what? We should have done a better job ahead of time. And that's what we really try to do before it ends up on our desk for legislation. We try really hard to talk to the people that are going to be most impacted ahead of time. And I think that's what we need to do in the city.
Good evening and good luck to you both. William Hosea. The city has a well-established housing authority along with the Board of Commissioners. The county has a newly formed Affordable Housing Commission. And Mayor Hamilton, you gave some examples of what the city has done to address affordable housing earlier. What I want to ask each of you to do is give a specific example of what both bodies can do to work together to address affordable housing.
I'm going to also reframe that just a little bit. I know that that's a big concern that came up in the endorsement committee's questioning, that it seems as if many people in my age range, in the 30 to 40 age range, are priced out of houses, that there aren't enough houses. And then there's also not enough lower income houses that are of quality and of accessibility to bus lines, as well as to people who are in need of help. So I just want to give some stats real quick for those here. The median income for a household in the city of Bloomington is $49,043, which is $11,293 less than the national average. The per person income is $27,157, which is $5,240 less than the national average. So we are definitely falling behind the national average here in Bloomington, Indiana, in terms of our income, and therefore our housing market is much higher. So please think about that in your answers. And I believe, Amanda, it's your turn first.
So we continue to be the most expensive housing market in the state. Right now, if you want to look at houses for sale, only 73 in this entire county are under $150,000. And 64% of renters are cost burdened, 24% of homeowners are cost burdened, meaning that's over, they pay over 30% of their rent or mortgage. to they pay over 30% of their income to their rent or mortgage. So we absolutely have an opportunity with the county and the city to work together. And that's something that I know that I would bring a strength to that because I have a familiarity with the county. I know how the county works and I've built relationships within the county. And I know that that's something that because the county has so much land, that is an opportunity for the city and the county to say, let's work together and build housing. And it does take vision because if you look at some of the sewer lines, we have sewer, the sewer is an issue, but that's that is totally something that's we can do. I would recommend having an affordable housing regional summit, and I would also recommend immediately doing a strategic plan. And that would be something that would involve the county and doing it, potentially doing that together so that we have data, so that we know how much housing we need, how much it's going to cost, and how long it's actually going to take. That's sort of, we're kind of flying blind right now. We have ideas, we have goals, we have some people doing housing studies over here, but your city government ought to figure that out so that we can hold ourselves accountable and come up with a goal.
Well, thank you for the question, William. We have a huge housing crisis. We have plenty of plans. City government has housing plans. Housing authority has housing plans. You're developing housing plans and talking about getting housing plans. We need to build housing is what we need. And I'm proud that the city, together with our partners, has built 600 units or is building 600 units, bedrooms of affordable housing. We do look forward to, you know, we've been trying to get some county land transferred in the city, like at Thornton Drive, which we're hoping to get. We've been waiting for a couple years for that. I know there's ways to work together. I do think the county has a particular opportunity with the much lower land cost to do affordable housing outside the city limits in the county, and I encourage you to do that. I'm sorry there hasn't been more growth of affordable housing there. Let me just mention one thing we're doing, the Housing Authority, and I appreciate the question. A new thing we're doing with the Housing Authority, they about 2,500 to 3,000 people go to sleep every night in our community, in Housing Authority units. Yeah. 2,500 to 3,000 people in the Public Housing Authority support. 300 of those they own directly, and it was gonna take 25 years to rehab those. 25 years to rehab them. So many are 50 years old. With the leadership of Amber Scobie and the board, we have developed a way to refinance the Housing Authority to do all of that rehab in 5 years. Yeah. That means 300 people are gonna get new rehab homes in the next 5 years. There's a lot of work to be done, and there's tons we can do together. I'm proud of the momentum that we have, and I hope you'll support us in keeping that momentum going so we can do more over the next 4 years, too.
I also, William, to answer your question about city-county, I think that the Monroe County stepped up, and our housing is actually cheaper out in the county versus the city. We stepped up and started the Affordable Housing Commission, and as mayor, I would say that needs to be an intergovernmental group that works together. So I get a chance to answer your question. I think affordable housing in general it's a nationwide problem, but it's a public health issue. It's a human rights issue, and it's a public health issue, and every single elected official needs to come together and start with that foundation. That's absolutely what needs to happen. You need those of us that are here that have the power need to stand up and say it is those things.
You've been listening to Monroe County Commissioner Amanda Barge and Bloomington Mayor John Hamilton speaking about housing challenges. Barge and Hamilton debated at last night's Democracy for Monroe County mayoral debate. Democracy for Monroe County is expected to endorse either incumbent John Hamilton or challenger Amanda Barge for mayor in April. The next Democracy for Monroe County debate is between City Council at Large candidates next Monday.